about.
So easy. You got to put it in perspective.
Look, party's over. It's been a long vacation, and now your fans are waiting to see you again. And you guys all know how you look in rehearsal is how you come across on the stage. So let's do it one more time from the top, and let's get busy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad Boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hi, Peter Griffin, Leering Dad. Quick question. In Shake It Off, you invite us to get down to, quote, this sick beat. Yet the beat you then provide is rather mild. My question is this. May I lick your legs?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I just... Did you see the way he smirked? He's like a naughty 53-year-old boy.
I'm so angry even though I don't have any of the information.
And now...
Anyway, all you girls out there... Get your tube tops on. Tube tops forever.
Our feature presentation.
Tube tops forever is what he said. Tube tops forever.
Sure.
I do tube top Tuesday.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Thursday.
Yeah. You do Thursday? Okay. Oh, wow. We switch it up.
I don't mind, I don't want to necessarily be on Rodney's side, but I don't mind tube tops coming back.
Nope.
That's all right.
Nope.
Okay. Whatever's comfortable for the ladies.
Sure. That's what you're about.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 30th of January. How about that?
How about that?
It's practically Christmas.
It's a good observation.
It's Christmas.
I'm not positive I'm going to take that from him.
How about that?
It's a good observation.
Kevin's reaction to January 30th. How about that?
Huh.
I'm just saying, you know, time's flying by.
It
is. Yeah.
We need to start shopping for
Christmas. It's weird because... I don't know why, but in some ways in America, it seems like time is going very slowly.
I feel like it's going incredibly slow.
I feel like a week is a year.
Yeah.
Is how I feel.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the ladies and their tube tops.
Uh-oh.
I have an opening story today that involves people and the way they dress, and I'm interested to hear what y'all have to say about this. I'm very sensitive as a proud Southern man. What? What about that now?
Well, number one, sensitive.
Yeah. And now you're a proud Southern man?
I'm a proud Southern man.
All right.
And I'm very sensitive to the perception that much of the country, especially you liberal elites on the coasts, have about my brethren here in the South. And I see stories sometimes, and I go, ooh, I wonder how that's going to play, you know, outside of Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, which is pretty much my hood. And this story is going to be one of those. GOP lawmaker in Mississippi. Now, already, you see the first half of that sentence. You know, nothing good's coming out of the rest of that, right?
Right.
If you're a GOP lawmaker in Mississippi, proposes fines and psychological counseling for saggy pants. What penalties could reach $100 for showing too much underwear? So, because we've solved all other problems in the world, here's Tom Weathersby. There's part of the problem.
Right.
A Republican serving in the Mississippi State House of Representatives has proposed a law that would lead to fines and counseling for people who wear saggy pants, or pants, as it's described in the article, in a style where pants hang so low that underwear is exposed.
Hmm.
Personally, I like to see people dressed when they're in public, and I like to see people with their pants up, Weathersby told Mississippi Today.
Are all the other issues solved?
Yes.
Well, that's That's one of my thoughts is Mississippi in good enough shape that they have 1 minute in their legislative day to be able to discuss how much underwear is showing on people's pants?
Well, I want to know what kind of counseling you'd receive for that.
Sure. I do, too.
That's amazing.
I mean, would it be – look – there are a lot of different ways to look at this. One, you could just go, that's how some young people choose to dress, and old people are never going to like it. And that's partly why they do it, is because it does not conform to the way their mom and dad dress. And then there are other people who go, well, you know, the other side of that is this kid should have a little bit more self-respect and look a little bit more respectable. And if you want to get a job, it's unlikely you're going to be able to get hired that way. It's going to impact you negatively in other ways, and I'm just trying to be helpful. You know, it's a generation gap that, mm-hmm. like, there always been. I mean, it's a dumb look.
Yeah, it's not great.
I don't think I am likely to ever be friends with somebody who walks around with their pants down to their thighs and most of their underwear.
That would make me so happy.
Right?
That could be
he brings his new best friend a weenie
that would
roast.
Be great.
I'm not saying that couldn't be
pants around the knees.
A fine young man. But I'm saying it's unlikely that we would have very much in common if that's right. The way he chose to run around.
But that's because you don't do it this way. You should start lowering.
You think that's the answer?
Yeah, if you start showing underwear, then bang, you're attracting those same people.
Yes, bang.
What do you think it's about, guys? Because it doesn't even look like it could be comfortable.
Yeah, it does, especially when you see guys with it halfway down their butt and then a belt. Mm-hmm. Like, you're belting it so it stays exactly there. That's got to be tense for you all day. Like, what if it slips just a little bit? You have no pants on.
I don't think they care.
They don't think about
don't
that?
It's not a big deal. They
I
don't
get
go,
very
oh,
nervous for
what,
them.
What do I do to them?
But some,
need to make
but
sure.
Some people, you see them constantly tugging on it because right. it's always slipping. And that just seems like you're adding extra work to your day that's not necessary. You know what I mean?
Adding
extra work.
Define yeah. extra work.
Yeah, because it takes effort. It takes effort to reach down there and pull
sure.
it up.
Define sure. effort.
3 times a minute. You know what
and
I mean?
Kevin, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Right?
It would be like, it's like when your glasses get a little bit loose and all of a sudden you're pushing them back up on your nose all the time. You know what I mean? It's just a hassle. It seems like it'd be a hassle. Weatherby's bill introduced last week would make it unlawful for any person to wear pants, shorts, or clothing bottoms that exposes underwear or body parts in an indecent or vulgar manner. And I take it the indecency is just you can see their underwear. The penalty for the first offense of the non-criminal citation is a warning, and for juveniles, notifying their parents or guardians. I'd like to get that call if you're a parent. After that, fines begin at $20 for a second offense and run up to $100 for a sixth offense. So it's not like they're really, you know, putting a bunch. It's not a huge fine or anything.
No, but what are they doing?
Yeah,
the sixth offense would also include psychological and social counseling by the Department of Human Services and the Department of Mental Health. And that goes to your question, Allie, which is how's that conversation going to go?
Right, and who's paying for it?
And who's paying for it, right. Apparently, Florida
and... then they carry around a ruler just to check, like how far down
right.
your pants are?
And what if you just have...
2.5 inches ticket.
Yeah, what about your torso size? Does that come into
right.
play?
See?
A lot of factors.
I think it should. So I don't know that they're going to get much traction on this old white guy not wanting to see people's underwear.
This is very close to you kids get off my lawn.
It is.
Oh,
very
for sure.
It is a little bit. I mean, I get where he's coming from. It's a dumb look and don't do it. But I don't know that the law needs to be.
I don't even care that much. Just do what you do. I don't care if you look dumb or whatever. But Bean will not have it.
He's not going to allow it.
He will stop you. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee Show, shall we?
Why are you talking to me?
You know, on Friday we had a conversation with Allie, Thursday or Friday, because she's been invited to a Super Bowl party.
Which I usually say no to when it's my team in the Super Bowl.
Oh, you do all other times when the Patriots are there?
Yeah, when the okay. Patriots are in, I don't like to go to Super Bowl parties because I can't enjoy myself.
Right. Okay, so you're going to one.
I am.
You have a lot in common with the rest of America because we don't enjoy ourselves when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl either.
Well done.
And what's going to happen? She's going to have a special Allie section?
She's made jokes.
Say, don't feed Allie?
No. Anything? Kind of just a let her be section.
She built a pen is what I heard.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't
in the
know.
Backyard.
I feel like she's up to something. That's all I know.
I hope.
Yeah.
It sounds like she's... Well, we'll talk to her, but it sounds like she's trying to be an accommodating hostess
absolutely.
By being able to have her friend there, but also make sure that you have a good time by not having to interact too much with the other guests.
And also make it so she can make fun of me is kind of always her thing.
I mean,
so,
I respect that.
That's the best. Yeah, that is important.
It's who she is.
I think you should invite Dave to that same party as a Falcons fan and have him bring a bunch of his friends.
Michelle wouldn't like Dave. Just kidding, Dave.
Also on the program today, did you know that science tells you exactly which songs are the happiest? Science.
I didn't realize there was a formula for that.
You can scientifically prove which songs are the top 10, for example, in this case, happiest songs. So we're going to go.
The Wreck of the Emma Fitzgerald
is
not on there.
Oh, yeah, it's on there. Yeah.
This list is BS.
That's 1 through 5.
Okay, good.
What's up with Florida on today's Kevin and Bean Show? And we'll check in with Harvey Levin like we do. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Can we mention the thing?
We can mention
a thing.
We can mention that there's going to be
a thing.
Okay,
not
fine.
The thing, but a thing.
Right.
7 o'clock this morning, by the way. Big announcement about tickets that you can win for a major upcoming concert. I can say no more. But
I heard it's going to be cool.
I heard that's what I heard too. It's gonna be
it's
cool.
The Thing.
It's The Thing, right? Exactly. So, just I wish we could tell you we're not. We're embargoed until 7 a.m. But at 7 a.m., you will not want to miss the announcement, and then your first chance to win tickets to a concert you don't know about. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here now, and on a Monday morning with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from the weekend. See what films were big hits with theater goers. And number one surprised a lot of people. Split. Still number one.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't expect that to happen, but it's a juggernaut. It's really it has what they say in the business, legs. It's been sticking around the number one for the third weekend now.
You said they didn't expect even the first
They didn't expect weekend. To be number one that first weekend, and now it's been number one for a while. And I think it just shows... It goes to show the popularity of this radio program.
Huh?
Split is about...
We're taking props for ourselves?
A guy named Kevin.
Yeah, okay. Well...
Who's really creepy with women.
Okay.
And mentally unwell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mashup. It's the best of Kevin and Bean put together into one fictional character brought to the big screen.
Should we sue?
I think so. You should probably get a little taste.
All right.
A little something for your trouble. You guys laid the groundwork, and then they come in and they clean up. You set the table. They ate the meal.
Right? Not cool.
Not cool at all. The Dog's Purpose debuted with $18.4 million. A lot of people like dogs drowning. That's all I know.
I don't think that's accurate.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hidden Figures was third. Resident Evil, the final chapter, came in at four with $13.9 million. La La Land was fifth. XXX, The Return of Xander Cage, sixth. Then Sing, Rogue One, Monster Trucks, and Gold. The new Matthew McConaughey film debuted with $3.5 million. Nobody likes a fat Matthew McConaughey. Apparently that's what we're learning. Speaking of which, he did gain 45 pounds for his role in Gold. And his wife, Camilla Alves, says that she's never been happier than when he packed on almost 50 pounds for that role. She said he was a lot more fun when he was fat.
Is that right?
I guess because you can just eat and drink whatever you want and you're happy. Because he wasn't in the gym all the time watching every calorie and, you know, trying to maintain his Sexiest Man Alive body.
So if you're not happy, eat a lot.
Right, and then you'll be happy because you can just be fat. Just do stuff. Hang out. That's do the fun things.
Solid advice right there.
I think so. Last night was the big Screen Actors Guild Awards, 23rd annual. And I don't know what this means now for the Oscars and stuff like that, because there was a lot of upsets and surprises. Let's go through some of the major award winners. For example, La La Land, which picked up, I don't know, 14 nominations with the Oscars, only picked up one award last night for the lovely and talented Emma Stone.
And it wasn't even nominated in the Best Ensemble category, which was shocking.
Well, it's a two-hander.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just the two of them. It's not a big ensemble piece, so I can imagine that probably would not garner a nomination for that. Emma Stone won for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Leading Role in a Feature Film. Denzel Washington picked up the award for his work in Fences for the male actor. Male actor in a supporting role, went to Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. Viola Davis picked that up in the female category for Fences. And then Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture went to Hidden Figures.
Right.
In television, Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a TV Movie or Miniseries, Bryan Cranston won for All the Way, where he played Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Apparently, it was a real good performance.
It was.
But up against Sterling for the OJ movie? He was great. Back to you.
Did you see All the Way? See Bryan Cranston?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right.
All right, then. I heard
Thanks,
he had his pants let out, Bryan Cranston did, for that role, because it was real tight back there by the bunghole. So he had to have a couple extra inches put in. Sarah Paulson, there's your OJ Simpson. Okay, you happy now?
All
there
right.
You go.
Okay.
She won for her work as that lawyer lady from the O.J. Simpson, People vs. O.J. Simpson television miniseries. John Lithgow won for The Crown, as did his acting partner Claire Foy, who plays the Queen on that series on Netflix.
It's a wonderful series.
I should watch
I know
that.
I'm the only one watching it, but it's great.
William H. Macy, one for his work in Shameless. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, one for her work in Veep. And had a very powerful speech last night. She talked about her father being an immigrant who fled Nazi-occupied France back in the day. So she had a lot of things to say last night. Stranger Things won for Best Ensemble in a Drama Series on Television. And Best Ensemble in a Comedy Series went to the hilarious Orange is the New Black.
Oh, so funny.
Can't stop laughing watching that show. I'm so glad they got that comedy award. Is there a funnier show on television today?
I dare you to
Orange
find one.
Is the New Black? Laugh, I thought I'd cry with all the side-splitting shenanigans that go on in that there prison. Can we stop doing this? That's Can we stop nominating this show as a comedy?
That's a strange thing right there.
Real people did not get awards last night because this happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an outrage. I'm going to start a protest. I'm going to the streets.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people are upset today, and I asked them to pick up a newspaper. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman's 87 years old today. Hey, Gene, why don't you get off your ass and make a movie?
Right?
Goddamn Gene Hackman.
I know. I hate those 87-year-olds who won't work.
How many do you think he has? How many movies do you think he's worked on?
Hackman?
Yeah.
All?
150?
That's crazy. Seriously. How many he's been in.
Yeah, he's been retired for some time, but I still miss him. He's a terrific
actor. I do, too. He's great.
No, no. You can't say, oh yeah, how many 87-year-olds you went out there working, and then say you miss him and you want him to work? You got to pick a side, man. Stay in a lane.
I was just kidding. You know, I love Gene Hackman. He's the best.
Phil Collins is 66. Sure, we get more Phil Collins. We don't get any more Gene Hackman.
Right.
This world's upside down. Christian Bale's 43.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Good for you. It's your birthday, Christian.
Maybe he doesn't understand.
I think he's confused. Wilmer Valderrama, popular actor, of course, who played the popular candy dispenser Pez on That 70s Show. He
Again,
is 37
I think
years
it's
old
Fez.
Today.
It's Fez.
King Cuddy is 33 years old today. And Kylie Bunbury. Lovely actress who plays Ginny Baker, the female Major League Baseball pitcher on Pitch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great show.
She is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a big concert announcement for you just after 7 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And almost immediately, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to the show. And trust me, you're going to be very excited by the news. First, though, it is Monday morning. It's about that time to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How was your weekend? How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. How's it going?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on, as always. We always appreciate talking to you. You know, it's funny. Your site is essentially people think celebrities. What are celebrities doing when they go to TMZ? Of course, you cover so much more than that. And these days, I feel like there's as much politics and protesting going on TMZ as anything else.
Well, how could it not be?
How could it not be? Right.
You know, it's funny. What else is going on? I mean, it's like I don't really want to talk about, you know, Kim Kardashian. You know, I mean, just... You know, her. You know, what's going on with her backyard that we're building a pool. I mean,
right.
This is a much bigger thing. And I got to tell you, I think, you know, I thought celebrities became almost white noise during the election, that it just felt like, you know, everybody was just kind of, you know, saying the same things, and they'd have
and they weren't changing anybody's mind either. It's not like somebody turns on their TV, sees Julie Louis-Dreyfus talking about politics, and goes, "Oh, you know what? She's right. I'm going to switch what I think."
Yeah, yeah. I think that's changed with this. I really do. I think that, you know, what's happened is it's not, you know, a performer getting on stage and singing a song. You know, it's people kind of rolling up their shirt sleeves. I mean, for crying out loud, even the Hadid sisters were out marching yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you feel, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think there's this feeling more of kind of authenticity, that this is not about somebody saying, oh, look at me, I'm a celebrity, or I'll perform. It's not performing. They're just doing what everybody else is doing. And I think it has an impact.
Let me give a one quick step back story for folks who don't know the big story of the weekend that Harvey is referring to is President Trump's executive order on immigration that he did on, was it Friday, I think it was, or Saturday morning? And he basically is stopping immigration from a bunch of countries, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Libya, some others. And it's just, first of all, it was a surprise to many people within the government at the Department of Justice and the people who run the TSA. I mean, it wasn't that it was cleared and thought out on how they were going to do it. So it just created havoc. with people coming over to go to graduations or to visit sick parents or to come over for weddings or, you know, for any number of reasons.
Was this in the news?
Yes, it was very much in the news, Kevin.
Okay.
And it's just created havoc. And really what it sounds like you're talking about is that so many celebrities as well as so many regular people really woke up and said, is this what America is all about?
And, you know, and it's so funny because, I mean, Kevin was just joking when he said that. But, you know, there are these kind of shared experiences that people have from time to time. And it doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I remember the first one that just stunned me beyond just the – I was a little kid. But I remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and that brought everybody together. I mean, it was this feeling where it was this really intense shared experience.
Right. Like 9/11 was, too.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of feel like – you know, people are, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, people on both sides, but it is becoming a really kind of an intense thing that everybody is talking about now. I mean, I don't think, I can't imagine there's a household where it hasn't been mentioned.
I agree. And you know what's really, and I see this a lot in my social media, and I'm sure you do too, Harvey, is this is one of those conversations, a lot of things around President Trump, but in particular this, is causing family members to not speak with one another because they're finding it hard to reconcile middle ground on a news event like this. You're either for it or you're against it.
That is so true. That is, and it's funny because, you know, we've had discussions in the newsroom. Would you date somebody who felt the opposite? And almost universally, the answer is no.
I mean, I understand
wow.
that.
Yeah,
I understand that. Yeah. I didn't watch the SAGs last night. I don't know why. For whatever reason, I just wasn't that interested in. But it sounded like a majority of the people who got up on stage last night had something to say about this. I mean, it was really very heavy in the room, right?
Yeah, no, and I think it's going to continue to be. You know, Tony, I have this kind of special love for Magic Johnson, who I just think is one of the most admirable people. I think he's just an amazing guy with an amazing life. And he's a very measured guy. And we got TMZ Sports got him last night. And he is, you know, he says this is not only un-American. He says Trump is acting like a dictator. And that, you know, it's not just Muslims who have to worry, but it's all sorts of people. It's Latinos. It's African-Americans. He was so strong. And you know, I have when Magic Johnson speaks in those terms, you know everything's kind of struck a chord.
Well, this story's a long way from over, and obviously there are lots of constitutional challenges to it, so I don't know eventually what it's going to end up being, but you're right. I mean,
And by the way, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Trump is going to announce his pick for U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
And that is going to be, honestly, it may be the most important decision he makes this year.
I'm sure it'll go smoothly.
Yeah. Come on, sure Judge no. Judy.
No worries.
I mean, that court is 4-4 right now, and this person is critical.
What about Ali's suggestion? Don't let that sleep. Don't sleep
Judge
on that,
Judy?
Harvey. Judge Judy. Yeah, come on.
I love Judge Judy.
I do. She doesn't think nonsense.
I love Judge Judy, so, you know, you're not going to...
Before you jump into your meeting, Harvey, I love this Madonna story. Now, Bruce Roberts is the songwriter that you write about, who wrote a number one song for Barbra Streisand and Donna Summer back in 1979, a huge hit. Maybe you've heard it. Here's a little taste of the song.
Enough is enough.
So he woke up this weekend and said, hey, wait a minute, I already have a song where the lyrics are enough is enough. I wonder if I could figure out a way to make some more money off of that song. So what's he doing?
I'll tell you what happened. I didn't know this, but they stripped that song down. I don't know when they did it. It must have been a couple of weeks ago. And they took out most of the verses, and they just kept in the enough is enough chorus. And they kind of created it as a statement against Trump, or Bruce Roberts did. And it actually went... I think it's like number 6 in the Billboard dance charts. So it kind of had a new
second
life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's a huge songwriter. He's written for everybody. And Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, he's written for a million people. And so he is contacting Madonna.
Now why Madonna?
Well, because Madonna is, you know, and I think this was terrible what she did when she started talking about, oh, I was thinking about blowing up the White House. I think that's a terrible message. Trump latched onto it, said it was disgusting.
Right.
Yeah, she did a disservice to the whole Women's March.
Yeah. And you get a platform to be live on CNN around the world, and you drop so many F-bombs they have to cut out of your speech. You're not helping the cause that way either.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think she's doing it for CNN, but, you know, and I, it doesn't bother me whether she's swearing or not swearing.
But I'm saying you don't get your message out. If you have the opportunity, the platform to be on television, why blow it by saying things they can't put on television? That's all I'm saying.
But blowing up the White House is especially horrible.
That's dumb.
And so, anyway, but Bruce Roberts wants her to take that song, write some lyrics that would become kind of an anti-Trump anthem, and then he would release it again. So his idea is to release this song and make it the, you know, the kind of the I Am Woman, but to the anti-Trump group.
I wonder how it would be. I wonder if Madonna would be capable of creating something that would not just be, you know, her laundry list of things she hates about the president, make it be something entertaining that would resonate with people.
Yeah, and the problem is that she's kind of a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if the I don't know. I mean, look, I mean, at the same time, if you like her, you love her, but she is polarizing. That's his idea. Who am I to say it's good?
Right. We don't have very many political anthems anymore. It doesn't seem like there's much of a protest music business anymore like there used to be, and that's a surprise to me.
Remember the 60s, early 70s? It was all about that.
It's all about it, exactly.
I have a feeling it's going to change. You know, I don't know.
Maybe so. All right, Harvey. Well, listen, you are very busy there in the newsroom, man. The news is happening as fast as you can get it up on the website. TMZ.com is where you want to go. Don't forget TMZ airing throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 on Channel 11 as well. TMZ Sports airing Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, the TMZ Tour and so much more at TMZ.com. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Monday. Thank you.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks.
I have a very important question for you guys.
Yes, Bean.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
We've been doing this feature for a few years now, spotlighting on the Sunshine State, because they seem to have the greatest news in the world coming out of there. It's America's penis, don't you know?
Yeah.
But we're going to do something today we have never done before, which is the all-ladies edition of What's Up with Florida.
All right.
You know, you usually think about Florida Man and all the bad things that he does in that state. Mm-hmm. This one is all ladies. Allie, we may have some new role models for you. I can't wait for you to meet the ladies of this week's edition.
Excited.
Here's a Lake County, Florida sheriff's deputies responding to reports of a suspicious person trying to break into homes, and they come across a 31-year-old woman named Lindsay Jean Stanley Machine. She is barefoot, she does not have any teeth, and she said she doesn't know where they are. However, deputies notice a nearby car with its doors open and a key to the ignition. In the car is a set of dentures and a pair of pink tennis shoes. Ooh. Now remember, the woman was barefoot and had no teeth. In this car are dentures and tennis shoes. And she was screaming and she was talking to herself. She did, however, acknowledge that both items belonged to her. The car had been reported stolen and had run out of gas in that spot. The woman denied stealing the vehicle, saying she had only been a passenger in the car, but had no idea who was behind the wheel.
Oof.
What? Doesn't seem likely that that's true. She was taken to a nearby hospital for treatment of a suspected drug overdose and then was transported to the Lake County Jail. By the way, you come across a toothless lady in the middle of the street, barefoot. No good is ever going to come from that.
But, said it for years.
That has been your motto you have lived by.
I don't know, toothless.
Here's a Florida woman in Bradenton accused of having sex with teenagers. Now, this was a story that happened a couple of months ago. She had some kids, some high school students, over to her house and had sex with a 16 and a 17-year-old boy. She's 40, by the way. But they have revisited the story and now have added an additional 4 counts of unlawful sexual activity. It turns out she had sex with all 6 of the high school students at her house. She was having a Christmas party on December 23rd. She was also, by the way, giving alcohol to the minors at the party in addition to having sex with her. She told one boy, it was revealed, hey, come with me, I need help showering. Which, I need help showering. That's how you get them, right? The investigation is ongoing, but so far 6 counts of having sex with underage boys.
Well, you see, when a man and a woman fall in love, the man puts his penis in the woman's
And when the woman has 4 penises in the same time.
I don't think we need a full explanation.
That's about what happened.
I feel like.
Wellington, Florida, a woman told police she was having a bad day after she allegedly went on a rampage Thursday at a T-Mobile store. She had gone into the store the day before with a cracked iPhone, and she said, "I'm going to bug out if I don't get my phone replaced." And the manager said, "You can get your phone replaced, but you have to pay for the new replacement." And she was very upset by that, and she decided not to do it, but she left the store and then came back the next day, did not go back inside the store. Instead, she decided to ram her 2005 Nissan Armada SUV through the front entrance. One store employee was hurt, by the way, injuring his knee and was taken to the hospital. There's video of this, by the way, yeah, of this SUV just going right into the showroom. And she was just wigging out that she had to pay for this phone. Damage up to of over $30,000 to the store, by the way.
Wow.
She's 26 years old. And you know what's amazing about this to me is that you could see her being turned away from the T-Mobile store and walking back out to the parking lot, getting in her car, and then ramming into it. But she had 24 hours to think about it and still thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
26-year-old Shinobia Wright facing charges of aggravated battery, burglary, criminal mischief over $1,000, and reckless driving. I would say never a good idea to just run your car into somebody's business.
Pretty solid advice, perhaps. I think, yeah.
Here's a Florida woman who was arrested after she pelted a cop with what is written in the police report as a wet tampon.
Oh,
no.
Which the police
report... You don't need to do all these, Bean.
Right?
Characterizes...
You could delete some.
As a deadly weapon, Takora Fields, 28, was involved in a brawl in St. Petersburg. An officer investigated the fight. Fields told the cop to suck my pee and then added, "I'll hit you with my tampon, you bitch." And then was seen with both her hands in her genital area with her pants open, then observed throwing a wet white paper object at the man.
All right.
She was apprehended following a successful taser deployment, but that is the deadly weapon that was used. And finally, and this is maybe my favorite story, this is a wedding in Punta Gorda, Florida, unraveled into chaos when the maid of honor, Amanda Willis, 23, drank almost an entire bottle of Fireball within the first hour of the reception.
All right.
And turned drunk and violent. You know, we've done the phone topic before of weddings ruined by people drinking too much. This is the maid of honor in this wedding, okay? This isn't just some unruly guest. This is the woman that you go to who's your best friend, and you say, "I need you to be there and stand up for me on my special day, would you please?" She was drunk within 20 minutes to a half an hour, said the bride, Jennifer Butler, talking to the NBC News affiliate. According to guests, she began demanding people give her their car keys before eventually stealing the keys from the best man, Brian Butler. She then went up to the best man and grabbed the keys out of his pocket and jumped into his car. As she attempted to back out of the parking lot, he grabbed his car and was reportedly dragged several feet before managing to get into the car and pull the emergency brake. So she's drunk and trying to steal a car at this wedding reception.
Nice.
She was wrestled from the car and then proceeded to go back into the reception hall where she grabbed a big bottle of Captain Morgan and just guzzled it. Soon after, she became violent and began punching guests in the face.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
She was taken to a hospital where she assaulted paramedics, kicked over a bedpan, exposed herself to deputies. She was arrested and faces charges of larceny, battery, grand theft of a motor vehicle, and violation of probation. This is her ninth arrest, by the way.
All right.
And the bride says they are no longer friends. So I'm sorry to say that this one does not have a happy ending. Those are the ladies you needed to meet on this all-female edition of What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Got a major concert announcement for you coming up right after the top of the hour in about less than 10 minutes or so from right now here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to show business news, let me give something away. I've got a couple giveaways today during the showbiz beats, and I said to Beer Mug, let's give something away here. And he said, okay, G&O? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? G&O?
No one calls it that.
And I was like, what are you talking about? Guys Night Out. And I was like, really? Really? That's what you're calling it? G&O. Like, stop saying that. It is K-Rock's Guys Night Out is the name of the event. Or G&O, as the cool kids say.
Right. Or mugs.
It is a awesome poker tournament, very fun night at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday night. And all the boys will be there.
Can't wait.
You got your beer mug? You can say, welcome to GNO. When you see him, he'll probably say that to you. Do you have your Dave the King of Mexico? And let's not forget the man himself, the myth, the legend, Kevin Ryder. Kevin Ryder.
Nice. Right.
When you think poker.
Right.
You think Kevin Ryder.
Exactly.
Well, we'd like to give you a spot to play poker at Kevin's Table this Friday night at K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Plus, you get a rack of chips worth $200.
Ralph, I forgot to tell you this, but last time they got one of the guys that won a seat at my table.
Yes.
They said, hey, this is Kevin's table right here. You want a seat? And he's like, it's all right. I'll sit over here. He didn't want to sit at my table.
He waved it off? He passed?
Yeah, he waved it off.
Not that interesting, huh?
I was like, come on!
Well, then don't call here. Don't call right now if you don't want to be part of Kevin's crew. Doors open at 8 o'clock. Poker and Blackjack start at 9 p.m. And you can also RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys at thebike.com if you don't win. But if you'd like to sit at Kevin's table, give us a call right now. Caller number 21, because you got to be 21 years of age or older to win this prize. So if you're over 21, give us a call right now. Caller number 21 at 1-800-520-1067. We'll be playing poker with Kevin tonight, Friday night at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. And Kevin will clean you out. Because he is a menace at the poker table.
I'll take it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He'll walk away from the table, go to the bathroom, and then he will not be able to find the table again for another couple hours. So you might actually be able to escape his wrath, because he does get lost sometimes at these tournaments. That happened.
Yeah, it did.
Kevin didn't know where he was, what table he was at.
In my defense.
Did you sit down at the wrong table? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin's done that.
And the guy said, what are you doing? Dealer. Yeah, it was the World Series of Poker, boat, and there were thousands of tables in my defense.
Right. Did anyone else lose their way, as far as you know?
I mean,
with all those thousands of tables?
You want me to add them all up?
Yeah.
No, just me.
Just that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gino.
It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split, $26.3 million. Kept it in the number one slot. A lot of people like crazy people who abduct women. Right, Bean?
I mean, under certain circumstances.
Sure. Dog's Purpose debuted with $18.4 million. I'm surprised by that.
I am too.
But a lot of people are willing to forgive and forget, I guess, when it comes to adorable puppies with Josh Gad's voice.
And all the dogs in that movie are dead now, right? They've all been drowned.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah. They shot him at the premiere, I heard. They brought him out on
there
stage.
There was no premiere,
they brought him
Ralph.
Out on stage.
That is fake news.
And then just they just mowed him down.
Ralph. Also not
with
true.
With a Tommy gun.
Not true.
I don't know how they went back in time to get a Tommy gun.
Awful.
But they got
and then
him.
The not people in the theater just applauding.
Yeah.
They're so sick.
And then they bathed in their blood.
Yeah. Zero. You guys are sick.
Zero of that happened.
That is sick. You are sick.
They praised the Dark Lord on an altar. Very strange.
Then they all had dog sandwiches after the premiere.
Yes.
Very sad.
Hidden Figures was third. Resident Evil, the final chapter, debuted with $13.9 million. La La Land was fifth. Xander Cage returned in XXX at number six with $8.3 million. Then Sing, Rogue One, Monster Trucks, and Gold, the new Matthew McConaughey film, coming in at number 10. I reported last week disturbing story about Misha Barton. Remember her from the OC?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We did a story about the fact that the police were called because her neighbors were saying she was hanging over her fence wearing just a dress shirt and a tie and no pants, yelling about how her mother was a witch. And everybody's like, well, that seems odd. And so they showed up, and she voluntarily went with them to the hospital. Turns out there was a very good reason for her odd behavior. She was out partying with friends to celebrate her 31st birthday the night previous to that, and she was, in essence, roofied.
Oh, no.
Someone put GHB in a drink that she was drinking.
Does that make you sleep?
GHB?
Yeah.
It makes you goofy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought it was a date rape drug, no?
It is.
But I thought that's why it worked, because it knocks them out and then
It's not a knock. It makes you incoherent and incapable of sort of monitoring your behavior and your actions. And so they tested her blood, and that's what they came up with. She said, while having drinks, I realized something was not right with my behavior. I was becoming erratic and continued to intensify over the next several hours, she told People magazine. After the fact, I voluntarily went to get professional help, and I was informed by the staff that I had been given GHB. After an overnight stay, I am home and doing well. So she thanked the staff at Cedars-Sinai, where she was taken, and said after she recovered, this is a lesson to all young women out there. Beware of your surroundings. She has no idea how she got the drug in. They assume someone put it in her drink at some point during the party. So.
That's really scary.
It's very scary. Charlotte McKinney. You know her, Charlotte McKinney, right?
Sure.
She's the... You remember her from the Carl's Jr. commercial, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was natural. She was walking through the farmer's market naked, eating a burger. Remember that?
Sure.
She's going to be in Baywatch.
All right.
Seems appropriate.
So I'm going to Baywatch?
Anyway, she did an interview with Ocean Drive magazine and said that she had to drop out of high school because she was bullied so much.
Because she was
bullied. She was too beautiful and busty.
Oh, Jesus.
Same.
In high school. Is this happening in high school? Is this a thing now where they bully beautiful, busty women? Well, that wasn't how it was
you guys,
in my high school.
It's not something to make fun of. It was very hard for me.
Oh,
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
You had a friend who went through it?
Yeah. I was there for her.
Yeah.
And
I would think you'd be the most popular person. Yeah.
That's the way it was when I was in high school.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you'd get bullied.
You would be put on an altar, or a pedestal, rather, and worshipped. And
carried around.
Everyone would be scared to death to talk to you because we were so intimidated by you. Is that bullying?
Wow.
People would throw beer at her during parties, she said. And now she wants to stop abusive bullying behavior in its tracks. She said things are even worse now with social media, and she wants to be a voice for victims, she said.
Somebody said, hey, there's a hot chick with big boobs, let's throw beer?
They're trying to give her a wet t-shirt. Maybe that's what
it
was.
Oh, that could be.
However, she did grow up in Florida, so I don't know if any of that adds to anything. And while we're talking about bullying, Ed Sheeran... The little garden gnome.
Love him.
He said he was bullied when he was in high school.
That's understandable, though.
And that's why he feels he set a great connection with one of his best friends, Taylor Swift.
Oof.
He said neither of us were the most popular kid in school. And we were always told there was something we couldn't do and we were picked on. So I think this brings up an interesting point about bullying, especially when it comes to Taylor Swift. Sometimes there's not enough bullying, right? That's what we've realized, is that if these kids had worked a little bit harder, if they could have broken her spirit more, we could have all been spared a great deal of pain, I think, if they had just been a little more dedicated to their position.
Right.
If they had just worked a little harder.
So half-hearted?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Sometimes bullying, there's too much, and sometimes there's not enough. That's the problem with bullying. You don't know what dosage to give sometimes. And in Taylor Swift's case, they obviously did not... give her enough.
Yeah.
Because pop star Taylor Swift is the latest in a long line of celebrities peddling death.
Right.
That's true.
And if they had bullied her to the point where she didn't pursue her career.
Yeah, I'd rather.
Something would sound like that.
Half of everything, or what's happening?
Just little bits of sound would be played if that had happened.
And your cats aren't that cute.
Right. That's got bullying we needed. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Gene Hackman is 87 years old today. Wish he was working still, but he's not. He's retired. I think he lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Has a little antique shop or art gallery or something there. And once in a while, we'll punch a homeless person in the face. That was a news story. Last time I heard about Gene Hackman, he punched a homeless guy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought you were making a joke.
No, it was a homeless guy who was harassing his wife. Huh? And Hackman just took him out. Phil Collins is 66 years old today. Christian Bale turns 43.
No!
Come on. Yes, you do. You know you do.
Admit it.
Wilmer Valderrama is 37. Kid Cudi is 33. And Kylie Bunbury, you know her as Ginny Baker, the pitcher on pitch. She's 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Listen to this, guys. You ready? Big announcement. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who's ready?
Okay.
You ready?
Right?
Yes. All this week on K-Rock, we're doing K-Rock Wheels Up 2017. Destination number one is that band right there, Green Day, in Sydney, Australia. How's that for the trip of a lifetime?
Yes.
Listen, K-Rock, all week long, be caller 20 every time you hear a Green Day song between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. for your chance to win. And here's the part we've been dying to tell you about. Your qualifying prize, just announced from Green Day themselves, is Green Day at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah!
on September 16th. So Green Day coming back to town playing the Rose Bowl September 16th. You'll win tickets to that, and you'll qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia, with round-trip airfare and hotel and spending cash and the whole deal. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. So between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., every time you hear a Green Day song, you be caller 20 to win. And we've got a little bonus chance for you to get in on this. Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we will also be giving away Green Day at the Rose Bowl tickets coming up on KROQ.
All right, so it's been just a little over a week with President Trump, right?
10 days since President Trump was sworn in, as of right now, yes.
And how's it going?
Look, I read a lot of articles on a lot of things, and people who are into Donald Trump are really into Donald Trump.
Right.
I saw comments this weekend like he's gotten more done in the first week than Obama did in 8 years. I saw people say that. I saw people say, thank God somebody's finally stepping up and being the adult and making our border safe. And so there are a lot of people who are still behind the president. However, the new popularity poll that came out has the president at has the president at above 50% disapproval of the job he is doing so far. 51% of respondents in a new Gallup poll say they disapproved of President Trump's performance so far. And that is it usually takes a little longer than that. It took President Obama 3 years to get below 50%.
Right, but he's really, really pushing the pace.
He is. He's definitely doing his
he's
part.
A winner.
And I will tell you this, and from what we know about Donald Trump over the past couple of years, he does not like it when people don't like him. He likes it when people like him. That's what he likes. So let's fire up the music. Let's get him on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, the 45th president of the United States of America, President Donald J. Trump, joins us back on KROQ. How are you, Mr. President?
I'm amazing. Thank you. I have done more in 1 week than Obama did in 8 years, okay?
I've heard that, actually.
A lot of people are saying that. A lot of people.
Well, at least one guy said it. I don't know if a lot of people are saying
One 16-year-old in Iowa said it, and I retweeted it.
It might have been. So how do you like being president? A lot of people thought maybe you were surprised you won the presidency, and maybe you didn't really want the job. This is a joke that went too far. How are you enjoying the job?
Only the fake news didn't know that I was going to win. Real American knew that I was going to be president.
Okay.
Everyone knew it. It was a movement like no one has seen before.
Right.
A giant movement. We all bared down. The whole group of us, we bared down and we created a giant movement.
I don't like that analogy at all.
That it clogged all of the plumbing of Washington.
Okay.
And all the institutional politicians, who are all talk, by the way. That's all they do is talk. No action.
Right.
We dumped a giant movement in Washington.
Yeah. I thought you were going to drain the swamp, though. It sounds like it's the opposite of that.
We drained the swamp, and then we filled it with a movement.
I see. Okay. All right. So what about the 51% of Americans in this Gallup survey who disapprove of the job you're doing so far? What do you have to say to them?
You're missing the point is that I set a new record, okay?
Right.
New record. No other president ever has achieved what I've achieved.
Right.
That's the part we have to focus on.
Is that a positive, though?
Because a lot of it's all talk with these guys. That's all they do is talk.
Right. You said that.
I do things. Uh-huh. I make things happen. You know how I do it? Executive order. It's awesome. It's unbelievable.
Yes. You're very good at those executive
orders. You piece of paper and you write something down and you sign your name to it. It's amazing. There you go.
What are you doing? What's happening right there, Mr. President?
I just made another executive order.
Okay. What was that one for?
No immigrants 7 or under anymore in the United States. No immigrants 7 or under. Okay?
Because those are the dangerous ones, the little kids.
Oh, I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about women. You have to be a 7.
Oh, dear.
Or more before you get on the hot scale.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Only 7s and better.
Wow.
No 4s, no 5s, okay? We're going to make America hot again.
And who judges that?
Executive order. Well, I do have a tremendous history with beauty pageants. Okay?
Right.
It's what I do. It's what I did.
Okay.
And I will be the judge. I will go to the airports and I'll say, no, 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 okay, no, no, okay, okay, no, 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 definitely not, absolutely yes, and then absolutely yes, and I will go to the ladies' room.
That's a job. A lot of people would apply for that job. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Got another executive order.
Just came to me. What's this one?
Mandatory spray tans for everyone in America.
How are you going to
make fun of me being orange when everybody is orange?
Oh, I see what you're doing
there. I solve problems. That's what I do. I find the solutions, and I solve them. That's what it's unbelievable. A lot of people are saying it's the best spray tan plan ever.
You say a lot of people are saying all the time. I've never heard anyone say anything like that.
Another one. Executive orders are amazing. You just write them down and people make them happen.
People have to do them, right.
It's like ordering at a menu at an Arby's or something.
Right.
The musical instrument, the trumpet, will now be called the meep it. That's fun. There's another one.
Strangely, I'm okay with that one.
I'm now going to build a wall along the border with Canada. The whole Mexican thing went so incredibly well. People love it. And now we're going to build another wall along the Canada-U.S. border.
It seems not necessary.
We'll no longer be losing our NHL jobs to Canadians, okay? I was watching the All-Star game this weekend.
Wow.
So many Canadians,
yeah. A lot of Canadians
taking
yeah.
American hockey jobs. Yeah. Well, we're not going to have them steal our hockey jobs anymore, okay?
Well, they're not our hockey jobs. I mean, they're good at that sport, and the NHL wants players who can play.
Where is the NHL played?
Well, they're playing mostly in the United States.
Mostly, exactly.
And Canada.
And we're not going to let them steal our hockey jobs anymore.
Okay.
Let the Canadian teams have Canadians. But from now on, American teams will only have Americans, okay? Well, Canada. And while we're at it, we're also going to build an outdoor patio and a barbecue and a carport, and they're going to pay for it all, the whole thing. We're going to redo the whole backyard.
And who's back here?
All right, another executive order.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring back Three's Company. I love that show.
What?
I want to bring back Three's Company.
You can force them to bring it back?
Of course I can. I just write things down. It's an executive order. They have to do it.
Wow.
Unbelievable. We are going to bring Three's Company back big league, okay?
Okay. All right.
That Tripper is going to be so gay, okay?
Okay.
We're not
going
to know. Oh, he's not actually gay. He's living with two hot girls. Oh, Mr. Furley, he doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
What a loser Furley was, okay? Roper, too. Idiot. Sad, okay? If I had been the landlord, I would have known exactly what was going on in that apartment.
Well, at least you're taking care of America's most pressing issues, Mr. President. Well done, sir.
I will give my best to President Bannon for you.
Please do. I am taking a look at a sentence I'm about to attempt to read, and it's like standing in front of a mountain I will never climb. I'm going to this. Wish me luck, you guys.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Dr. Jacob Jolielge is a cognitive neuroscientist at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands.
Sure.
Yeah, I made it. And he has released a new study that I thought was fascinating. Again, he's a cognitive neuroscientist, and he was commissioned to put this question to science.
Science!
What are the most uplifting songs in the world, according to science? So this isn't just going around and asking people, hey, what song puts you in a good mood? What song do you enjoy hearing when you're a little down? This is, according to science, find us a formula and come up with the positives in a song and the beat that it needs to have and the key that it's in, and put all of those into a blender and generate a list for me of the most uplifting songs in the world. And wouldn't you know, he's done it.
So these songs lift us up where we belong?
Apparently they do, yes.
Where the eagles fly?
Nope.
The formula I came up with takes the number of positive lyrical elements in a song and divides that by how much a song deviates from 150 beats per minute and from the major key, he said.
Sure.
So I don't know why 150 beats per minute is the magic number, but that's important to science. That's what he says. So we thought it might be interesting to go through this list and see if we and the listener agrees with, are these the most uplifting songs in the world? Kevin, I believe you've got them.
Now, most of these are a little bit older. The first one is number 10 is Walking on Sunshine by Katrina.
Come on. Love it.
Katrina and the Waves. That's a good song right there.
Doesn't
it feel good?
It does feel good, and it seems like it'd be hard to be real sad if that song's playing on the radio, you're driving down the road, and that comes on.
It's uplifting.
Yes.
It's very uplifting.
Number 9 is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
What would drunken sorority girls who just got broken up with do without that song?
Very true.
There's no way a college girl could survive a breakup without a box of wine and I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor and her girlfriend saying, you were too good for him.
And that is, that is the most positive message in the world. No matter how bad things are, if somebody is singing to you, I Will Survive, that has to feel good and help, right?
Yes, it does. Now,
we are going to take your calls with your suggestions as well, but let's continue with this top 10. Number 8 is Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
I defy you not to sing along to that when it comes on.
Especially if you used to work at a dock and you're down on your luck. I mean, that really speaks to you, right?
It really does.
Wow.
All right. Number seven, Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper.
What would sorority girls who have gotten over their breakup right. and now looking for new guys to bone yep. right? do without that song?
Getting
in a
ready to go
night.
Out, throw that song on. Oh boy, you're
they
ready.
Are challenging you to have fun. I guess
we're up to number six. This is "I'm a Believer" by the Monkees.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
I don't need that.
Oh, you go right to hell.
I don't need that. I don't need that at all. I mean, the other ones are fine.
That one is awesome.
I don't need that.
That one really kind of speaks to falling in love at first sight, doesn't it? And the optimism that you have when you meet a new person and you go, wow, I'm sold on this person.
Bean,
right?
you feel too
wow,
much.
The tune
really,
and the bounce.
Bean loves love.
It's a good time, that song.
It is.
It just makes you think all things are possible.
All right, we are
halfway through. Kevin, that's your problem.
Halfway through the list, if you're just joining us, a cognitive neuroscientist in the Netherlands has compiled for us the top 10 most uplifting songs in the world. We're at number 5.
Science!
Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yes.
By Survivor.
Yes.
Come on, that's not bad. I like
that. It makes you think you can conquer anything. All things are possible. So that's a lie, but it makes you
right.
think that.
It's not possible, but you do feel that way. A number 4 is Uptown Girl by Billy Joel.
Uptown Girl, you know I can't afford to buy her girls.
Yeah, I don't care about that one.
Oh, you go
you're
right
so wrong.
To, you do
care about
burn.
That
I want you to burn in hell.
I've got some alternatives in a minute, but let's continue going.
Uptown Girl is like walking on sunshine. You just can't,
agree.
You can't just help it. It puts a spring in your step.
Yeah, okay, I don't
love
need it.
It.
Don't
By the
need
way,
it.
Did this scientist in the Netherlands have access to no music after 1985?
Yeah, that's part of the problem. Is they're all super old. Number 3 is "Good Vibrations" by the Beach Boys.
Say summertime's here and I feel great, right?
Summer in 3.5 minutes. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. If you hate that song, you hate summertime. They go hand in hand.
Number 2 is "Dancing Queen" by ABBA.
I don't know anyone who doesn't love that song.
I don't.
Here, right here.
You don't
but
like that
fine.
Song.
It's fine,
pass.
But number 2 most
number
uplifting?
Number 2, yeah, hard pass.
It's not even my most uplifting ABBA song.
Right.
Waterloo I would pick
sure.
before I would pick.
I don't think I'd put
Dancing Queen.
Any ABBA song on the on
You
the
don't.
Most upbeat songs.
You know.
Let's talk to Jasmine. Line 2, please call us from Anaheim Hills on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know we're interrupting just before we get to number 1, but she has news for us. Hey,
Breaking
Jasmine.
News.
Hey, Jasmine.
Welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's up?
Most
you sound uplifted, Jasmine.
Most uplifting
what
songs.
What have you listened to make you so uplifted?
"Don't Stop Me Now" by Queen.
Which is number 1 on this list.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time. Don't stop me yes, now. I'm a good time.
I mean,
you
okay.
Listen to those lyrics, and he's having a good time.
Jasmine, I will tell you that when we read this list last week, we thought, really? Number 1? It's a good song. We can see people like it, but number 1?
But if your life was a Broadway show, that would be the big number before intermission.
Pretty big if.
But it is. It's like, yeah, don't stop me now. You can just see yourself just dancing on park benches and
that what you're doing?
Swinging around light poles. Come
Jasmine,
on.
Is that a song you will go out of your way to put on when you're feeling a little bit down?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who won't?
Who won't?
Who
right?
Won't?
Who won't?
Me?
All right.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done coming up with the... We weren't even asking you to guess, but well done. Thank you for the call, Jasmine. I appreciate
science.
It. All right, Kevin, before we take a break, let's hear from you. You
right.
said you disagree with a lot of these songs.
Kevin doesn't like
own.
Science, apparently.
I don't. Look, here's the thing. By the way, science is not supposed to put out any more reports either, so I don't know what they're doing here.
This one snuck
think this
out.
Was free. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's from another country, too, where they have scientists who are able to talk to the public.
But why wasn't the president able to stop this report before it got to our borders? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Now, some of them you don't necessarily think of. This is one that has been played so much. Maybe you're sick of it. But to me, Uptown Funk is still super uplifting.
Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
just watch.
Come on, that comes 100%. On the radio.
100%.
Love
it. Love.
I agree. Love.
It makes you shake your ass, but I don't think it's really uplifting.
Both.
Oh, both. I'm uplifted.
Yeah. Shake your ass and uplifting,
yeah,
both.
It's just a dance.
Oh, how dare you, Ralph Garman. All right, 1-800-520.
Backs me. Doesn't back you.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call. We'll take your calls back.
All right, talking about science. Has done a survey, not even a survey, they've got a formula together of the most upbeat songs in the world. People listen to them, they can't help but be in a good mood. And we're hearing from a lot of listeners at 1-800-520-1067, and also the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Dina writes in, I'm sorry, but California Love puts
That's
me in a hella great
choice.
Mood.
Yes.
California Love, you guys.
If I was making a list, this would be my number one.
Yeah.
Easy.
Brian says, Party in the USA. Anyone? Maybe I should admit that one publicly, says Brian. I'm with you there. I'm with you for Miley Cyrus.
See, I think maybe there's a problem. There's a disconnect between the definition of uplifting and like party songs or songs that are that you like the groove of.
I think a lot of times a party song and an uplifting song can be the same thing. Makes you feel good.
No, uplift. No, it doesn't make it's not a feel good song. Uplifting is supposed to be aspirational, inspirational, to raise your sense of self, to give you something else larger than yourself and bring you up.
Not just to cut loose
California
and shake that ass.
California is larger than myself, Ralph.
That's a good
point, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. You're a smart boy. Yes, you are.
All right. Before, let me do a couple real quick for me before we go to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. I have two that I pulled. And one, I think, is the definition, Ralph, of what you're talking about. It's aspirational. You hear this and you can't help but feel the world is a beautiful place.
Right. You're going to be bigger. You're going to be better than you are, right, by listening to this.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful day.
All right.
I mean, you hear that and you go, hey, it's a beautiful day, right?
I think that's got to be. That's
a good takeaway from that song, Bean.
I think that falls in the category for sure.
Unless I'm interpreting it too literally.
No, I think you're right.
And the other one, I don't know if Ralph will allow it or not, but I hear the song and I get instantly happy.
Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy.
Jesus. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That song makes me feel great.
No, yeah,
what's
no.
your problem with that, Ralph?
No. Again, it's not aspirational. It doesn't bring out your better angels, the better part of yourself that can conquer anything in the world. It's just about getting boned by some guy. You're giving him your number.
But it makes me so happy.
That's why Bean likes it.
That's what he aspires to.
All right. Let's take some calls right now. Let's start with Courtney. Let's go to Redlands, please. Line 4. Find out. What's the song that that makes you feel the best? The most uplifting song in the world for you, Courtney, is what?
Good morning, guys. You guys are going to laugh.
Okay.
But Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff.
This aren't the list of songs that make you want a pound of 40 of malt liquor.
How do you explain that? Why does that make you feel good? I mean, and isn't that different from going out and wanting to smash a Starbucks window?
I don't know. Every time, if I'm in a bad mood and that song comes on, it just instantly makes me feel so much better about everything. I think you kind of just release all of your anger with it.
All right.
Like, you can go on with your day.
I don't know how many people I would tell that, but we'll accept it.
Courtney must be from the 909, right? That's my only. That's the only thing I can.
I am.
Okay, there you go.
There's no flatter bill in the world than the one Courtney has on her hat.
All right, let's try Cynthia Norwalk, line 3, up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Cynthia, what's your song?
My song is "Staying Alive" by the Bee Gees.
So it's uplifting just because it says, hey, stay alive.
Well, I think like I Will Survive and other songs on the actual list, it does have a quality to it that makes you feel you can surmount your problems, you can overcome.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think the lyrical content matters.
Let's go to Your Belinda, line 8. This is going to be Tony. I got to be honest, this is a song that I was stunned was not on the original list from The Doctor in the Netherlands. This song is the definition of happy, I thought.
Tony.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. I love Happy. It just gets me in a great mood. My kids love it, so we always put it on. It gets us hyped up.
Happy by Pharrell?
Yes, Happy. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like
It's happy. It's happy. I mean, you're happy.
It is a happy song.
It's happy.
That song is awesome. I don't know. It's awesome.
It's, right. It is. We're not saying these are good songs or bad songs. It's just to uplift, to make you feel like you can conquer the world, that you can rise up and conquer your demons. Happy's just like, okay.
It works for me.
Have some ice cream.
Sounds like Ralph will not allow it, Tony, but thank you for the call. Appreciate
it's a fine song. It's a lovely song. It's a happy song.
Because your room doesn't have a roof. I mean, you got all kinds of problems in that song. All right, let's go to Victoria, who's got a good guess. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
Most uplifting songs.
Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
Oh, nope.
You go right to hell.
First of all, you go right to hell. Let's move on to Rebecca.
Love Victoria.
See, I have all the clips. I have all the clips, but Bean had that one at the ready.
Of course.
All right. Okay, Bean, thank you. All right.
That's the most infantile thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm glad she called.
Let's go to Rebecca in San Dimas. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
And Miss Ma'am.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, yeah, so I originally wanted to say Love Shack, but now that I've been hearing everything, I think Under Pressure and Don't Stop Believing are, like, those top three for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I okay, right. I can see that.
Don't Stop Believing.
Under Pressure. By the way, Love, another
Love
one
Shack. Love Shack. I mean, it's sort of a party song, but...
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. Just something that makes you, you know, feel happy isn't the same thing as being something that's uplifting, that actually brings your spirits up and makes you feel you're a better version of yourself.
All right.
All right, Alan McKay, you have a pick. What's the song that does it for you, no matter how bad a mood you're in?
Depeche
this is the
Mode.
One that makes you happy.
Depeche Mode, Just Can't Get Enough.
I mean, there's a difference between loving a song and saying that it's the most uplifting song.
That gets me going. That makes me happy.
That gets no one going.
It gets so many people going.
It's just about Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's a great song, but it doesn't get you going.
I'm telling you it does.
No, but you're wrong.
No, but I'm telling you it does.
But we're telling you, we know your feelings better than you do.
Come on. Give me a
break. All right, let's go to Covina Line 5, please. Now, we had some problems with Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. This song is a great song that's in that same category for me. I don't get the feel-good, upbeat, happy part, but let's see what Albert says.
Albert, hi.
How you doing? Good morning.
Most uplifting songs.
For me, it's got to be Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the
You know, you're mistaken. That belongs in the list of songs that make you want to turn over a squad car.
I mean, I know there are no wrong answers.
I'm with you, Albert.
People can feel good by whatever song they want, but it doesn't seem consistent with the other uplifting songs on the list. That's for sure.
I love it, and Albert is right.
All right, we got time for just a song, but it's not uplifting. It's fury-inducing.
Let's try Whittier, please. Juan. Let's go to line 6.
Juan.
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 Juan?
Last Juan.
Hey, party people.
What do you got, Juan?
I got A-ha's Take on Me.
I mean, it's a good.
That's the one.
It's a good song. But would you kick any of the top 10 out for that one?
No,
I don't.
No.
I would kick anybody out of the way and start dancing to that song. It's all about persistency.
All right.
Oh, about persistency.
All right.
Well, I didn't realize.
All right, Juan. Thank you. Let's see. Where else do we want to go with this?
I don't like any song that could double as a cola jingle in a commercial. And that sounds like that could be one of those.
You know what? Someone on Twitter just came up with one, and I can't believe none of us did. Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams Come True.
Yeah?
Really?
I mean,
F you all.
Let's go to Jeff in Los Angeles. Hi, Jeff.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Most uplifting songs. What's yours?
Came out about a year and a half ago as Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon.
I mean,
sure.
I like
it. All right, one more.
That's not uplifting to you guys.
You guys are so judgy.
She's very rude. That girl's very rude.
She's had enough with him.
We don't say shut up in my house. That is rude.
Let's go to Silver Lake.
There's better ways to deal with people.
Let's give Alex the final word.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Hi. What song?
Fantastic Voyage by Coolio.
Slippity slide. I do
just to survive.
Yeah, well.
And what does that make you feel, Alex, when you hear that song?
Well, you know, it's about, you know, positive vibes, but with a tinge of, like, bittersweet kind of, like, aspects of life thrown in, which is kind of, like, realistic. Like, you know, you got to stay uplifted but grounded at the same time.
Right. You know? Wow.
Plus, it's hard to roll a blunt in your lowrider. So that's a problem.
You know what? You know, I multitask, so it's definitely
worth it. Oh, and here's one more. I had one more.
And touch the sound.
Right?
Wait, so I'm going to lift up a razor to my wrist.
I forgot my favorite uplifting song of all time. Or not.
Sounded like you were going
to
play something.
Just been waved
there.
Off.
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk about my uplifting song. You guys were all with your picks, and we ran out of time, but I didn't get a chance to talk about what I think is the most uplifting song in the world.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't mind,
sure.
Take a little time here. I think I sent a clip in. Here's my pick.
Oh, for the love.
I like orange juice.
Right? Orange juice.
No. Grape juice?
No.
Tomato juice?
No.
Carrot?
Carrot juice.
Yeah.
No. Orange juice.
Orange juice.
Yes, orange juice.
Orange juice. Orange juice. Orange juice.
Come on. Doesn't that make you feel the best part of yourself?
Mango juice?
Mango juice.
No.
Mango juice?
Milk? No.
How about orange juice?
Orange juice. Yes,
orange juice! So good and so good for you.
Orange juice.
This is a song for the body and the soul.
Orange juice. I like orange juice.
Sorry, we didn't have time for the pick, well. Hey, just announced within the last hour, Green Day coming to the Rose Bowl on September 16th. We'll tell you how you can win your tickets within 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Sad news. This morning we got the news of Masaya Nakamura passing.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Really?
Who is that?
Really?
Who is that? who's that?
Masaya Nakamura was a legendary video game designer and creator who is known as the father of Pac-Man.
Oh!
Right? So of all the death sounds,
right?
That would be the one to go to.
Well, right, I didn't know who you were talking about. No. I had to wait until I heard the thing.
I see. He founded the Japanese video game company behind the classic creature goblin game. He has died at the age of 91. He founded Namco, part of Bandai Namco, in 1955. And it started out as two mechanical horse rides on a department store rooftop. That's how his business started. He owned two of those rides you put quarters in and it makes the horse go up and down. That's the beginning of his business.
Is that right?
And then went on to pioneer game arcades and amusement parks. You know, Pac-Man.
Just Pac-Man.
That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all he did.
It was the last great video game, you guys.
Right.
Really, they didn't do much with it after that. It kind of peaked right there, and then everything else has just been an also-ran.
Everybody thought a lot of things, video games would take off. People would play them, but they never really caught on.
Right.
Anyway, at the age of 91, he passed away. It is Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split, number one again this week, $26.3 million. Put at the top of the list, The Dog's Purpose. Is to make money, apparently. $18.4 million made it number two in its debut.
Nice.
Hidden Figures, Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, and La La Land were the top five films. The Return of Xander Cage, XXX, was sixth. Sing, Rogue One, Monster Trucks, and Gold were your top 10 films at the box office. Last night, the SAG Awards were given out to actors by actors for some of the best work of the year. Denzel Washington won for male actor in a leading role in a feature film for his work in Fences. Emma Stone got the female actor award for La La Land. Mahershala Ali for his work in Moonlight got him the male acting in a supporting role award. Female actor supporting role, Viola Davis for Fences. And the entire cast of Hidden Figures won for best performance by a cast in a movie. On the TV side, Bryan Cranston won for his work in All the Way as Lyndon Baines Johnson, Sarah Paulson, for her work in The People versus O.J. Simpson. John Lithgow for The Crown, one male actor in a drama series, and his acting partner Claire Foy, who plays Queen Elizabeth in that series, one for female actor. William H. Macy from Shameless got Best Actor in a Comedy Series. The more I watch William H. Macy, the more I just want to hang out with him. He just seems like one of the best people.
Okay.
A little trivia about William H. Macy. You know he never lies?
No.
It's true. He never lies.
So what does he say if he's going to hurt somebody's feelings? Does he just be quiet?
No. He say, yeah, either be quiet or he says, or he'll tell them the truth.
Huh.
But he made himself a pact, I don't know how many years ago, that he decided that he was never going to lie again. And apparently has been living that. Can you imagine going through a day without lying?
No.
I can't get through this report without lying, let alone my entire life. Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Veep. Great speech last night from her regarding the current state of things in these United States. She's a cool lady. Stranger Things won for Best Ensemble Drama in a Series. And for Best Ensemble Cast in a Comedy Series, Orange is the New Black. They won because who's funnier?
Oh my
really,
god!
Than
show kills me.
Oh, it's like just have to take one a break. Belly laugh after another on that.
It's like
show.
The Three Stooges are back, is what it's like.
No, it really is.
That was your example.
It's a great reference because it's just nonstop silliness.
Okay. Sad news: John Hurt passed away on Friday. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but British actor John Hurt passed away at 77. He had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer a few years back, and apparently it finally claimed his life. Great actor. You've known him from a ton of stuff. He was the guy who had the alien burst through his chest in Alien,
sure.
The facehugger. And he was in the Harry Potter movies as Garrick Ollivander. And I think still his most brilliant role was that of the Elephant Man in the movie of the same name, directed by David Lynch. Amazing performance. And he was in Doctor Who. Just a super talented guy. So
he was. He had a part in Jackie, the recent movie Jackie.
Yeah, right.
And he has, I think, two or three other roles already filmed for movies that haven't come out yet. So he was a super busy actor at 77 years old.
Yeah, very talented. He did a great arc on Doctor Who where he played one of the doctors. And it was just unbelievable. Great performance. Today's celebrity birthdays: Gene Hackman, 87 years old today. Phil Collins is 66. Christian Bale turns 43. Wilmer Valderrama is 37 years old. Kid Cudi turns 33. Kylie Bunbury, who plays Ginny on Pitch, she's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. As you know, all day between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., when you hear a Green Day song, if you're the right caller, you will win tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl. But we have an extra pair we're giving away just after the top of the hour with a game. So if you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll play that game next.
One of the biggest rock bands in the world today is coming back to town with a show at the Rose Bowl. Just announced about an hour ago, September 16th, Green Day is going to be playing the Rose Bowl. Last time they did one of their shows in town was at the Palladium, I'm being told.
Yes.
So this is more. This is more people, right?
Yeah.
I think 80
helpful.
More.
Thanks.
I'm just saying a lot of Green Day fans were not able to get tickets to see them last time around. So right. They got a better chance this time. So we're giving away some tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl. And you were also qualified for K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 1 to see the band again in Sydney, Australia. And we are doing it right now with Green Day fans on the line with a game that we call Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
He's got to be our favorite theoretical physicist in the world, Stephen Hawking, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Doctor?
You are claiming the Rose Bowl holds more people than the Pantages.
Yes, that is my understanding. Am I wrong about that, sir?
Are you a physicist, too? You sound like a genius.
Well, if I'm right, it was just a lucky guess. So, Mr. Hawking, first of all, it's been a long time since we had you on the show. How you been?
I have been praying for a meteor strike.
Hey, are you going to be part of that scientist march on Washington that's being planned right now?
I am. No one loves marching more than I do.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. Well, we got some Green Day fans on the line, and I know you're a fan of the band as well. Would you explain, please, how the game is played?
I will sing a Green Day song. All you need to do is to identify which Green Day song I'm singing.
All right.
All right.
Sounds easy enough. Let's start with Jeff in Corona. Hi, Jeff.
What it do?
Welcome. You ready for your shot at Green Day?
Oh, yeah.
There's Stephen Hawking.
Well, I heard it all before, so don't knock down my door. I'm a loser and a user, so I don't need no accuser.
What say you, Jeff?
When I come around.
Yes, nicely done. Right,
you can sing, Dr. Hawking. I had
no
idea.
I feel like that was singing as much as
really
just reciting,
really going for it.
It's the best I can do.
Let's go to Jeff in Garden Grove. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
You're aware I talk with a machine, right, Kevin?
Yes, I'm just saying maybe you can try to sing. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, what's happening
for the first time ever?
Machine can only do so much.
I'm saying.
Doesn't really have a sing setting.
I'm just saying, with that attitude, I'm saying you should try and sing.
God.
All right, Jeff, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's a Green Day song.
I get my kicks, and I wanna start a rager. I wanna dance like I'm on the video.
All right, Jeff, what song are we talking about here?
Oh, my gosh. Basket Case?
Sorry, that's Bang Bang.
I get my kicks and I want to start a rager.
All right, one's in the drawing so far, one is not. Who's next?
Go to Art in Corona. Hi, Art.
Hi.
Are you ready for your song?
Yeah.
Here's
ready.
Dr. Stephen Hawking.
To fall in love and fall in debt to alcohol and cigarettes and Mary Jane to keep me insane.
Sounds like a party. What do you think, Art? What song is that?
Basket Case.
Sorry, it's Jesus of Suburbia.
Dr. Hawking, are you a Green Day fan, by the way? Is this a band you listen to?
I love Green Day.
You love them. Oh, okay, good to know.
All right, let's go to Cynthia in Inglewood. Hi there.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's lack of sex that's bringing me down.
That one is Basket Case.
That one is.
I went to a shrink.
Nicely done. I mean, if enough people guess it, eventually we're going to get the Basket Case, right?
All right, let's go to Richard in Riverside. Hi there.
Morning.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me, and I walk alone. I wish.
Sorry, we gave you lyrics with walking in them, Doctor. We apologize for that.
All right, name of that song, Richard?
That's Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yes, it is.
I walk a lonely road.
Nicely
all
done.
Right. We're playing for Green Day at the Rose Bowl, Hawking the Hits. Who's our next contestant?
Please? Isaac in Santa Ana. Hi.
What up, party people?
What up?
Pay attention to the cracked streets and the broken homes. Some call it slums. Some call it nice.
Name of that song?
Jeez. Longview?
Sorry, that's Welcome to Paradise. I would time for one more.
One more, sure.
Yep. Let's go to William in Riverside. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
Can I get another amen? Amen. There's a flag wrapped around a score of men. Hey, a gag, a plastic bag on a monument.
What's that song?
Nailed it, Stephen. That's Holiday.
Holiday!
Can I get
nicely very done. Impressive Green Day fans there. So we got your William and your Richard and your Cynthia and your Jeff. They are all in the running. Only one will win tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl and be qualified for the trip to see them in Sydney, Australia with round-trip airfare, hotel, spending cash, and more. Details at krock.com, by the way. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Jeff and Corona.
Jeff and Corona. Congratulations, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness.
You got the tickets, and thanks for playing the game.
Stephen Hawking.
I know what I wanted to ask you, Kevin. Did you go to the – you went to a bunch of the NHL All-Star Game stuff over the weekend, right?
Yep.
Did you go to the celebrity game?
I did not, no.
You did not? You were not in person to see Justin Bieber get his face smashed up again?
I was not.
I guess that was – did you see the photos of Chris
Pronger? I did, yeah. That was pretty strong.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I despised the fact that he was there. Yeah. And so then it was nice that Chris Pronger nailed him up against the glass. That made it worth it. But come on.
But you want Canadian celebrities who play hockey. I mean, that's mostly who
but
was
come on
the
though,
ice, though, right?
Seriously.
But it's an opportunity for him to get hurt. You should be applauding the fact that
he's applauding the fact that he got checked into the boards. I'm happy.
I thought it might be fun. It's been a while since we've done Kevin Bean's What's Good, but I thought it might be fun to open up the phones on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. If you were part of the NHL All-Star festivities over the weekend at the game or the skills competition, you want to talk about that, or maybe you were lucky like Kevin and got to go to the Blink-182 after-party concert.
And Snoop. That was pretty cool.
And see Snoop Dogg with his potty mouth. We want to hear about that, too. Or maybe you spent a delightful, relaxing weekend at LAX holding up a sign. We want to hear about that. So whatever's on your mind, you can give us a call on any topic. Kevin and Bean's What's Good at 1-800-520-1067.
All right. Let's welcome the co-host of Sports Nation. Michelle Beadle is on the phone. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I am furious that we've never had you on the program before, Michelle, as long as we have been a fan of your work on television. So thank you, first of all, for being on the phone.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Now,
good morning, Beadle.
We have to start by blasting you of your choice of friends. So you and Allie go back a long ways, I understand.
Yeah, I actually saw her on TV back in the day, and I thought she was the funniest chick ever. So, you know, that's how most Twitter relationships happen.
Yeah, sure. We met on Twitter, and then we went for drinks, like most great relationships start.
Now, I know this isn't the reason that you're on, but just as a quick aside, there weren't really ghosts at that place that you guys went to that weekend, right? That was just Allie glug, 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 right?
No, 100% ghosts.
Really? You too? You drank the Kool-Aid too? You're saying there were ghosts?
Totally ghosts.
There weren't ghosts.
There were ghosts. I'm telling you. There are too many things that happen. If it was one or maybe two things, perhaps I would just say, maybe it was the wine. But too many things happen. And I am not a crazy person in the sense of, like, I don't scream. I legit screamed.
Right. We screamed and then started laughing and then cried all within 3 seconds. It was insane. Yeah. We were terrified.
I heard the word insane. I did hear that word.
Yeah. Well, Michelle is a good friend that she's willing to back up your BS ghost story. All right, Allie, why don't you describe why we asked you to reach out to Michelle and bring her on the program?
Well, I am a Patriots fan. A lot of people know that. Shockingly, a lot of people don't like the Patriots, so I have heard.
Sure.
I don't like to go to Super Bowl parties when the Patriots are playing because I can't pay attention just to the game. People are talking. There's dip. There's drinks. I just can't. I need to kind of
Who can enjoy a football game when there's dip?
I've said it for years. Thank you, Bean.
Michelle, this is her biggest complaint, is that she can't enjoy dip during a Super Bowl when her team's in it.
It's true.
Understandable. It's right? Very different things to be doing at home, I guess.
So what you did, Allie, is you said, hey, Michelle, thanks a lot for the invite, but I'm usually pretty nervous and I'm not very social, so I'm going to stay home.
Well, no.
And I'll go next time.
I've been flaking a lot on plans with Michelle. And she's been a good friend and has stuck by me.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to go.
Is it going to make her party better?
It might not. All right. But that's how kind she is. And I understand she might make some allowances, maybe have a little Allie corner, which is delightful.
I know. I think you'll be able to go. I think I could send you into my bedroom and you could just be in there by yourself if you need to be.
Then what's the point of having her at the party if you have to separate her from the gem pop?
Because then we can tell everyone else and we can go make fun. I'm telling you, there are going to be enough people here to make fun of the Patriots that I think it will be very good for you, Allie.
Oh, wait a minute. Michelle, do you have an evil plan where you are pretending that there's a safe space in your house, what you're actually going to do is have every person in your party, one by one, every 10 minutes, walk into the bedroom where Allie is and go, rise up, and then leave.
Yeah.
Michelle is not a Patriots fan.
Right.
At all. No, I'm not. No. Mm-mm. Nope.
But you're building a pen in the corner for Allie to be stuck in? You're going to give her some water?
Yeah, but I'm not going to allow her to be, like, completely isolated. Because this is the real world of adults. There's no such thing as a safe space. So you're going to have to come out and face music. And I feel like there's at least one other Patriots fan that will be here. So you guys, you know, can stick together.
Now, are you going to separate them in different pens, or they both go in Allie's pen?
Well, the other one has a drinking problem, so I feel like that's going to take care of itself.
They both have a drinking problem.
The other one?
I can hear you.
Look, you are a wonderful friend and a gracious host to invite somebody who is telling you ahead of time that she is not going to be good company that day.
Here's the thing. This is the same Michelle Beadle that I took to see Adele. She was my date.
Oh, this made me love Michelle immediately.
And I'm sitting there, the first song, the tears just start streaming down my face. And Michelle, I look over to my left. She's about 10 centimeters from my face. She's like, you okay? You crying? What's happening? You okay? Yeah, right? This is her. So I am not off the hook by any stretch of the imagination. She's got something planned. I can feel it.
I liked Michelle a lot from being on TV, but that story made me love her.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because she's doing the right thing.
Well, we can't wait. We can't wait to hear about the party. Michelle, who are you rooting for, by the way? I assume Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I root for anyone who's playing the Patriots.
Right? Yeah, you gotta. That's the only American way to go.
Hurtful.
It really is. It's
up
all right. Look for Michelle, co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN and the host of the NBA Countdown show as well on Twitter at Michelle D. Beadle. Great to talk to you. Looking forward to hearing all about the party. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it. All right. Next, 1-800-520-1067. We are going to do Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Any topic you call, we'll talk to you next.
You can be part of the show right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are taking your calls on any topic. Looks like we got a great batch here, too. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Let's go to Pasadena to get us going. Let's get Andrea on the line, see what she's talking about.
Right, where's Andrea?
Line three.
Hey, Andrea. Hello.
Andrea.
Hello.
Andrea. Hey, what's going on?
Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You're on the air. What's good?
I just saw the documentary Beware of the Slender Man on HBO, and it terrified me.
Beware of the Slender Man.
Yeah.
Remind me. Terrifying. I feel like I've heard that.
It was a contest for Photoshop on people who could see the creepiest Photoshop, a creepy picture about anything. And basically, this person made up the Slender Man, who's like basically a modern-day boogeyman.
Love it.
But
you're not going to
love it, Kevin.
No, you're not going to love it in a minute.
Oh, I'm not going to love it in a minute.
No, you are not.
It definitely turns.
Okay. Do not love this.
All right, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Well, these two little girls basically had a slumber party and are like followers of him and wanted to become his apprentice and stab their little friend after a slumber party. And they're 12 years old.
Brought her out to the woods.
They murdered a 12-year-old, Kevin.
I would like to change my vote to don't love it. I did not know that part of it.
Noted.
And wow.
It's a modern day urban legend about this slender man who is the satanic figure. And in order to bring him about, in order to bring him to into being, you have to sacrifice someone. And so these two little girls killed their friend.
And I was wondering about this. I saw that it was on. I have not seen it yet. But what kind of act, because the girls were 12 involved, they couldn't really interview them or have much film on them, right?
No,
what kind of access
do
they have to the people in the case?
Oh, they do. They have psychologists interviewing them. One little girl turned out to be schizophrenic. Her father's schizophrenic.
Wow.
And
wow.
Basically, I guess my fear is just when we were kids, we heard scary stories, you know, and you used your imagination. And now kids are Googling scary stories and it's in your face. So I think the reality button is just, oh my God. I was terrified.
It sounds terrifying,
oh my
for sure.
God.
I'm sad that Kevin supports that kind of behavior.
I appreciate
very
you calling.
Disturbing
I don't
to know
I didn't
that we
know
work
that.
With someone
very
like
creepy.
That.
That whole murder part, I was not aware
of. I apologize.
Let's try James Line 2, please. He's in Garden Grove. We mentioned briefly the NHL All-Star game that was this weekend, and there was a last-minute substitution that had nothing to do with hockey that I think a lot of people were really impressed with. Welcome to the show, James. What's good?
Thanks, guys. I have to give props to Courtney Daniels from our own LA Kings ice crew.
Agreed.
Who got minutes to get changed from her ice crew uniform and get out there and sing the national anthem since there was a last-minute call-off.
Can you imagine finding out how many minutes was
13
it?
13 minutes.
13 minutes before the national anthem is supposed to be sung in front of the NHL All-Star game.
And here's the thing. Fifth Harmony, I guess one of their people in the group got sick, so they couldn't do it.
Right.
Professional singers said, we cannot do it. But let's go to Courtney Daniels. You have 13 minutes, no time to warm up. Here's a jersey. Get out there.
And nailed
it. Nailed it.
Yeah,
it was phenomenal. So proud of her.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It's not like she hasn't sung before, but being put under that pressure
Of course.
It's an easy song. Everybody can sing it. I sang it in elementary school. Let's stop this BS.
Speaking of anthems, of course, they also sing the Canadian national anthem. How was Carly Rae Jepsen, you guys? Did she do a great job?
I didn't even know it was her.
Because she's awesome.
I didn't even know it was her.
All right, thank you for the call.
Creepazoid.
Right. Let's try Stephen. He's in Whittier. He's on line one. He's calling about something I know nothing about. Stephen, welcome to the show. What's good?
Hey, guys. What's good?
You tell us.
Hey, so I want to let it be known to everyone, who is everyone, Ralph Garman was recently on a podcast called The Crab Feast, and it's one of my all-time favorite podcasts. It's by two comedians, Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson, and I was super excited to see Ralph's name, and he was awesome on the podcast.
All right.
Really cool to hear all of his stories.
Thank you, Stephen.
Ralph,
I appreciate that.
What's the Crab Feast about? Is it just comedians just talking about current events? Or?
Yeah, so it's the two comedians, and they basically have other comedians or amazing celebrities like Ralph Garman on the show to just tell stories of the past. Ralph had a bunch of cool stories about his theater days back in the day, some shenanigans that took place.
Did Ralph have a lot of nice things to say about Kevin and Bean?
He didn't mention you guys. He didn't
he shouldn't have. I don't know why Bean would ask that question.
Didn't really come up, but it's not the nature of the podcast. It's basically they bring on guys, and as Stephen mentioned, it's two really funny comedians named Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson, and they bring people on to talk about their pasts, mostly their lives, like growing up and stuff like that. And it's not an interview as much as it is a sort of a storytelling session where you just launch into stories and that leads into conversation. But it's an excellent podcast, and if you've never heard it, they do a great job. You can go to allthingscomedy.com is the website if you just want to check it out there. But these guys are terrific, and it was a blast to do. And thanks, Stephen, for listening. I appreciate it.
That's a good tip. All right, one more. Let's go to La Mirada, line four, our final call for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is going to be Eddie.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, party people. Did anybody see the god-awful special about Mary Tyler Moore? It had Oprah talking about herself nonstop. It was amazing.
It had who, Oprah?
It was Oprah and Gail. And if Beer Mug got a special, this would be it. If Oprah just talked about herself nonstop.
Yeah.
You've got to do a video vault on this.
Oprah was a big Mary Tyler Moore fan.
Right.
And so she took it upon herself to do a special in tribute, but she did bring it back around to her and what the impact was on her and how Mary Tyler Moore influenced her and her career a lot. Right.
So an occasional mention of Mary Tyler Moore, and then
once in a while, they would just say Mary. No. They wouldn't even say Tyler or Moore.
No. But. It was awful. I'm so with Eddie on this, and Ralph, it sounds like you tuned in also, because I wanted to see Dick Van Dyke on the show, and I wanted to see,
Other people that she worked with, her
co-stars from the 70s show and whatnot, talking about Mary Tyler Moore, but it was just Gail and Oprah just being in love and talking about how much they loved Mary Tyler Moore. I quit after like 25 minutes.
They love Oprah.
Yeah,
true.
Ralph, did you see when they played the wrong clip? They talked about Mary saying she didn't get as much as a man. Then they played a clip where Mary got a raise.
Yeah,
I know. I was on the floor. You have to do a video.
It wasn't the most appropriate clip from that series, that's for sure.
People that play the wrong clips when they're set up are just, they're a-holes, right?
They're not trying. They're just not trying.
All right, Eddie. I couldn't believe it.
Thank you very much for the call. You sound awfully outraged over this TV special, by the way, but we appreciate the call.
She deserved better. Mary deserved better. What's good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51. Just announced earlier this morning, by the way, is K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 1. It's Green Day in Sydney, Australia. Coming up in just a few minutes after 9 a.m. You keep listening all day long through 9 p.m. Every time you hear a Green Day song, you be caller 20. You win tickets to see the band at the Rose Bowl and qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. I've never been to Australia, guys.
All right. Good tip. Thanks for that input.
It sounds like
I haven't either.
Like
Ralph, have you ever been there?
I've never been.
Allie, you ever been
there?
No,
I have not. Thanks for asking.
Never.
None of us have.
Yeah.
So one of our listeners is going to be super, super lucky to win this, is what I'm saying.
So much better than us.
So you're saying it's good.
I'm saying it's good. Round trip airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash. Get all the details at KROQ.com. But coming up just after 9, you need to keep listening for any song by Green Day, and then you know what to do. Ralph is here. It's showbiz time. What's going on?
You ever been, Bean? You ever been to Australia?
I actually have not, no.
Huh. You, Ralph?
No, never been.
I've been.
Dave has been.
I know.
Dave.
That's bogus.
How did that happen?
Right?
It's and awesome.
Now he calls it Australia.
I call it Australia.
Australia. calls it Australia because that's what they Australia. Do down under.
Sure.
But he does, and he calls it Australia.
Dave blends in effortlessly wherever he is.
He's a chameleon.
It's a real talent.
Yeah. He's the king of chameleons. He is. Before I get to the show business news, let me give you a little something. This is going to be a fun event. I've got passes to the premiere of the Lego Batman movie.
Yay!
It's happening this Saturday at the Bruin Theater in Westwood. And all the stars will be there. Will Arnett, of course, who is the Lego Batman himself. Zach Galifianakis, who's voicing the Joker in this film. Michael Cera, who is Robin. Rosario Dawson, who's Batgirl. Ralph Fiennes, who plays Alfred in the film. And more will all be there on the red carpet at the Bruin Theater. Big showing of the Lego Batman movie, which promises to be a blast. And I will be there as well.
Wow.
So if you see me, say hi. I want to thank the people at Warner Brothers. I'm in the film. I did some voices in the film. And I couldn't be happier to be participating in the Lego Batman movie. I was honored that they asked me. So if you'd like to go see the Lego Batman movie, it's this Saturday at the Bruin Theater. I've got 5 pairs of tickets right now to 5 callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Come on out. See the movie with me and the rest of the cast, and it is going to be opening in theaters everywhere on February 10th, but you'll get to see it early if you're one of the lucky callers right now. 1-800.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
1-800-520-1067. Again, is that number? You can go to legobatman.com for more details if you want to check it out. It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split was number one at the box office, $26.3 million. Number one, Dog's Purpose debuted with $18.4 million in its debut. Number two, Hidden Figures was third. Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Loved.
Kevin saw it.
Loved.
Really? I
think he enjoyed it.
Loved.
Super good, is it?
Loved.
He thought it was okay.
Kevin. Were there a lot of louds?
Yes, it was very loud, a lot of action. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
You bummed that it's the last one?
It's not.
Okay.
It isn't the last one at all.
I don't get the sense, really, that they're going to kill that cash cow.
There was more of a setup for the next one than any of the other ones.
Really?
It's a final chapter.
Right.
But there's another book, is what they're saying. That's what it is. This is the final chapter, but wait to get that new book, the new hardcover that comes out.
That franchise is one that makes a fair amount of money in America, but nothing like it does overseas. These movies are so huge in Asia and other parts of the world that they'll probably keep making them as long as they can.
Is that your wife's pick, Kevin? Resident Evil?
No, it turns out. How many people went with me?
Where was?
Zero.
Where was the movie club? Where were the cinema centers? Didn't they roll with you?
The cinema centers.
You guys didn't put on your colors and go down there and represent?
They weren't really down with the Resident Evil. I sort of went by myself.
They were at Moonlight again?
By myself.
The worst movie club ever.
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes, you know, when you make a bad choice, or in my case,
Can you go rogue? Can you go rogue for the movie club?
I did, because that's how I roll.
You're going to be put on double secret probation or something.
Double secret.
They're going to chastise you at the next meeting.
They're not going to take away my Vespa, though, right?
I don't know. I think that Vespas are forever.
Okay, good.
La La Land was fifth. Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage, came in at number 6. Then Sing, Rogue One, Monster Trucks, and Gold, the new Matthew McConaughey film, debuted at number 10 with $3.5 million. Very exciting news. The Universal Hip Hop Museum is getting ready to go under construction in the Bronx, New York. And it is scheduled to open in summer of 2018.
Okay.
The New York Daily News says the museum will cost $30 million. And the chairman of the museum is Curtis Blow.
All right.
Apparently there have been a lot of hurdles to get to this step, he says, and there are a lot of difficulties to have to surmount in order to make this happen. But those are the breaks, you know, and you just have to persevere.
Go straight to hell.
And you've got to keep going, and Curtis Blow has done that, and now they're scheduled to open up in 2018. So if you are a hip-hop fan, you're going to check out the Universal Hip-Hop Museum in the Bronx. It apparently encompasses hip-hop from all over the universe.
All over the universe.
Well, it's the Universal Hip Hop Museum. I assume they're going to have rappers from galaxies far, far away.
That'll be great.
Yes. Jar Jar Binks, I believe, has it.
Me.
Lisa, no like rap.
Falco! Falco would have been 60 this year. Falco!
Right.
So Sony Germany is releasing a 3-CD set with 52 of his hits, B-sides, remixes, and rarities. All 52 of his hits will be represented in this 3-CD box set.
You're calling him hits. Yeah. You mean songs.
Nope.
Are they Amadeus remixes?
No, they are not. You burn in hell, lady.
Come on.
Falco was God's gift to music, and now finally we can rejoice in all things Falco with the 3-CD set. Or you can get the 2-LP vinyl version pressed on yellow vinyl. All that coming your way on February 17th. So, Falco, that's what I'm saying. And if anybody was looking at me, I would signify for that song to start. You guys just have your little lovers' quarrels some other time?
No, this works good for us.
Okay, all right, I like it. Rock me, Amadeus! How about Der Commissar? Let's not forget that either,
like
right?
Oh.
Bitches.
Okay.
I like
okay.
that song.
All right.
And that's it.
And 2 out of 52 other songs.
I don't think
that you will get.
Okay.
Pre-ordered, baby. Pre-ordered. God, I love Falco.
You can't love Falco that much.
I do.
You can't. You like it, you don't like it.
Love
that's
Falco.
It.
Bean, you're not chiming in on the Falco conversation.
No, I don't think he's here.
He's gone.
I think he left.
Took a break.
He protested when she started talking about Falco.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman is 87 years old today. We love Gene Hackman. Remember Superman, how good he was as Lex Luthor?
He's good even in bad movies.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
He is absolutely right. He's one of those few performers who can do Welcome to Mooseport. And
there's no stain left on his career.
And everybody's like, well, I still love him. I can't help it. Yes, that was a turd, but he was really good in it. Yeah, he's bulletproof. He's 87 years old today. I love the Superman movie. Remember when we looked back on the Superman movie, we thought a millionaire real estate developer trying to take over the world was funny?
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Yeah. When it was fiction, yeah. You mean?
Phil Collins is 66 years old today. Christian Bale turns 43.
No!
Yes! I looked it up. You're definitely 43, Christian.
I didn't like birthdays.
Wilmer Valderrama is 37 years old today. Kid Cudi, which is hard to say if you have a stutter, is 33 years old today. And Kylie Bunbury, who plays Ginny Baker, the first female major league pitcher on the TV series Pitch.
She's great on that show.
She is terrific on that show.
True story.
That's what I heard. Not really a true story.
Some guy say that.
Has yet to happen, but hope springs eternal. She's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
One more time. Ralph Garman steps in with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Real quick email before I get to show business news from one of our listeners. I thought this was interesting, so I wanted to share. It says, hey, Ralph, I wanted to share with you guys a change I've decided to make in protest of our new president.
All right.
I'm going to stop drinking any American liquor. That's right. From now on, I'm only going to get wasted on drinks from abroad. Kind of my way of broadening my horizons. So from now on, whenever I'm at a bar and they ask what I want, I'll answer with, I buy foreign booze.
Nope.
I like foreign booze.
Nope.
Grape juice?
No. Tomato juice?
No.
Carrot juice? No.
Foreign booze? Foreign booze, yeah!
Orange juice!
See what he did there? Foreign booze! See what he did, Bean?
Yes, you're listening to that.
Yep, listen to that.
That's from John Allen.
Yes, you're listening to that.
Thank you, John Allen, for writing that. Strong that in. I buy foreign booze.
Yeah. Can't believe that.
Guys don't know, man. First Falco, now that. You guys don't know. The magic.
I've had it.
You've had it? Are we on the list?
Seriously.
It's Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split. came in number one yet again this week with $26.3 million. Dog's Purpose, surprisingly, debuted at number two with $18.4 million.
I guess there are a lot of people who hate dogs like Allie.
People like Allie just want to see dogs drown.
Yeah, I love dogs, so. And I was very sad to see what happened.
I'm surprised, because you sure were telling everyone to go to see Dog's Purpose.
I was before I saw that.
Didn't know they were drowning dogs.
I was not aware of what happened during
the filming. The little dogs, because they're easier to hold under the water.
Yeah, right. Just a couple bubbles, and then just still.
Not a big struggle like with a German Shepherd.
Right.
You're a
terrible human.
You really are. You're sick.
Hidden Figures was third. $14 million. Resident Evil, the final chapter, debuted with $13.9 million. Made it number four. La La Land was fifth. Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage, was sixth at the box office. Then Sing, Rogue One, Monster Trucks, and Gold. The new Matthew McConaughey film debuted at number 10. Screen Actors Guild awards were given out last night. A lot of passionate acceptance speeches, especially David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he had a speech and a half. That guy, he was very passionate and very. The crowd went nuts, all except for his co-star Winona Ryder. If you have a chance to see the video, she's standing next to him on stage. She's just looking at him like, "What the hell are you talking about?" She's making faces and putting up Black Power signs and everything. It's like she was tripping. I don't know what was going on with her, but it was wildly entertaining to watch. In contrast to what David Harbour was saying.
I've heard that it has been decided that acting is one of those occupations where you are meant to keep your political opinions to oneself.
Yes.
Like that's an occupation where you shouldn't be allowed to share your thoughts as an American.
And here's the thing about actors especially. The more that you tell them, shut up, get out of the limelight, the more they're going to step up and just amplify.
It's true of pretty much anyone.
Yeah. You're just begging for more of the same, so... Julia Louis-Dreyfus also had a very touching speech about her father fleeing religious persecution in Nazi-occupied France and addressing the immigrant ban. So it was an interesting evening last night, but here are your major award winners. Denzel Washington won for male actor in a leading role in a movie for Fences. Emma Stone won the female version of that award for La La Land. I always have a tough one. Mahershala Ali.
Oh, I think you got it.
I think I got it. Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. Was the best supporting.
I haven't seen that movie yet, but he sure was great on House of Cards, man. He's a terrific actor.
Viola Davis won for supporting role for her work in Fences, and Hidden Figures was the cast who was awarded for Best Motion Picture Cast. Bryan Cranston won for a male actor in a TV movie or miniseries for his work as LBJ in All the Way. Sarah Paulson for The People versus O.J. Simpson. Also won John Lithgow, won for Best Actor in a male actor in a drama series. Female actor went to Claire Foy. They both won for the series called The Crown, which not a lot of people have seen because it is on Netflix exclusively. But everyone who watches it seems to think it's pretty, pretty, pretty good. Pretty good. William H. Macy for Shameless, Julie Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, and Stranger Things won for Best Ensemble Cast in a Drama Series. And Orange is the New Black won for Best Ensemble Cast in a Comedy Series.
Dumb.
What's funnier than Orange is the New Black?
Veep.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Orange is the New Red?
Did I say Orange is the New Red?
Orange is the New...
No.
Green?
You said black.
What's happening?
What's going on?
We don't
bean
know.
Stroking?
We don't know what you're saying.
I don't know. I just thought you guys loved the little Orange Juice song so much. I thought that would be a perfect fit.
To start the I Love Orange
Juice? Because Orange is the New Red. No, 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 no. Orange is the New Green. No, 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 no. Orange is the New Black. Yay!
Bean.
I thought everybody would be all excited. I'm trying
Lay
to play
down.
Along.
Lay
trying
down.
To get on board. You can't beat them. Join them.
Oh, my God.
But everything
Look,
up to this point is rhymed with I Like Orange Juice.
Trying to have some fun
I
with
like
the
I like that you're
Aww.
Trying to get involved.
Because everybody else loves that little dumb little stupid song.
I liked as a little kid that you went to a Major League Baseball game and you tried to hit the pitch. You went out there and you swung, and I like it. But no.
But I struck out.
Wow.
Okay,
heart.
back to you.
Wow.
Whew.
File.
What a epic misfire. Really. Just.
I just think you're terrific.
I'm winded. I'm winded from that. It's like a shot to the soul.
Swing and a miss.
I wish you could have seen just a collect.
All of our faces were like, "What do you understand?"
I really
what?
Thought he had an embolism. Yeah, something had gone bad.
Something has.
Carrie Fisher and her mother Debbie Reynolds. Of course, we love her and them. 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th. If you're a fan, you may want to mark down that calendar. That is when the public memorial will be held for Debbie Reynolds and her daughter, Carrie Fisher, at Forest Lawn, Hollywood Hills, if you wanted to pay your last tribute to those ladies. That's your opportunity. Todd Fisher, Carrie's brother and Debbie's son, announced the memorial on his website. He said it'll be at a first-come, first-served basis. There will be room for the overflow in the huge lobby as well as outside with screens to watch and hear the service. So once again, 1 p.m., Saturday, March 25th at Forest Lawn, Hollywood Hills, if you're interested in going to the public memorial service for those two terrific ladies. Would you ever attend a funeral or memorial service for a celebrity? For
never.
For an artist?
Never.
Even if you enjoyed their work enormously?
Never.
Me neither. I can't see myself doing it.
As much as you love them, I mean, it's sort of not for you. Their art was for you, but not...
I went.
Their art was for you, but not their life, you know, and their family.
Their work will be there, and that's a testimony and a tribute to them.
Where'd you go, Bean?
I actually went to one. By the way, I wonder if that would be an interesting phone topic.
See, Bean always immediately goes to, there's other people like me.
We held one for Weird Al Spider.
Let's open up the phones for people who agree with me.
I went to... who's? Legendary R&B singer Charles Brown, who is perhaps known to you as the guy who wrote the Please Come Home for Christmas song.
He's not known to us at all.
No.
And I went to
I
his,
don't
went
think
to
you
his,
know what legendary means.
Went to his funeral and...
went to his funeral.
Wait, his
not
actual...
even a public memorial?
No,
an actual
it, was his
actual, funeral?
It was his actual funeral.
But what? You knew him and you were invited by the family.
Jesus.
I didn't know him, but it was open to the public and there weren't a lot of people there, so...
But even for the legendary... Stephen Clark?
Charles Brown?
I couldn't remember.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
That's bizarre, Bean.
Bonnie Raitt was there. Oh. She sang at the service.
Right, but she probably somehow was involved with the
yes,
family.
They were close friends.
Okay, yeah. So and, she should be there.
And the great soul singer Solomon Burke actually officiated the
sure.
ceremony.
Probably knew him, was a friend.
Probably did. But yeah. I did go to that.
And right.
It was odd. You know,
did you speak?
Open casket, too, by the way. Walking by the open casket. It was kind of weird.
I'd like to say a few words, if you don't mind. The only thing everybody's talking about people is, who is that guy? Who's the giant, gangly white guy?
I sure loved his
Let
music.
Let me tell you about Harold Clark. He was... One of the great blues men of all time.
He's Merry Christmas Baby. He's that guy, you guys.
We don't care who he is. It's weird that you went to his funeral. It's not like Elvis
no
where you go
with
on
the man whatsoever.
It's not like Elvis you go to Graceland on the anniversary of. You went to his funeral.
Yeah, that's very personal.
That's weird.
But how about these like the public memorial? Would you think it's weird if somebody was a fan of Carrie Fisher or Debbie Reynolds if they went
is
to that?
Is it a public memorial?
Weird. It's less weird.
If it's a public memorial, then it's fine. I wouldn't, but it's fine.
Because remember when they had that Michael Jackson memorial?
Right.
You know, they filled,
is that
the,
what this
filled
was?
The forum or something.
Was
you know?
That what this was for Jerry Brown?
Johnny, whoever.
It was Charles Brown.
Charles Brown?
No,
legendary,
it was just,
legendary Charles Brown?
It was just in a church.
Oh, so it wasn't
what
public.
What the hell? Seriously, the first time I'm hearing this story, what the hell is wrong with you? I was reading the LA Times, and it was in the paper. It said there's going to be a service for Charles Brown, and they gave the details, so I thought, hey, I'll go to that.
Did it say public is welcome?
I mean, I don't...
It didn't.
It absolutely didn't.
I don't technically remember the specifics of it, but I did put on some long pants and I went down there and paid my respects as a fan.
It was just a notice of his funeral. It wasn't an invitation.
You know what? Now that you put it that way, you might be right.
Was there a sign that said Scooter Brown funeral this way?
Charles Brown.
Charles Brown, whatever.
Wow.
You're the weirdest.
Everybody was very nice.
Last week we did shocking things you found out about your coworkers. We got to do it again.
Is this shocking? Really?
No, but yeah. Yes, though. Oh. Yes.
I'm not shocked.
Because wanting to go and feeling like that, okay, that's crazy enough, but he went.
He wrote Christmas songs.
Right.
I wanted to pay my respect.
You are magic.
Wow. I you're a miracle.
So it would never occur to you if there was somebody you were a big fan of.
No, that's how this whole conversation started. Kevin, I asked Kevin, would you ever go to even a public memorial for some celebrity, even if you enjoyed their work? And he said no, and I also said no, I could never see myself doing that.
And that was even in just a public memorial.
Right.
Not a private ceremony.
Hmm.
What do you mean,
Because my love for their work or whatever will not be diminished or increased by participating in that event. It's just, it seems like it's not my place that sort of thing should be reserved for friends and family.
But I think, and you've seen this especially lately with celebrities dying, that sometimes the fans of that, you know, George Michael dies and his fans get together out in front of his house and sit and, you know, play music.
Yeah, what's that all about?
I think it's just, it's a community is what it is. I think it's a shared experience. It's, you know, making the grieving a little bit easier to know that others are right there with you. I don't know. I think there's a lot of reasons why people would go to something like that.
So when you went to Charlie Brown's funeral, were there a lot of fans all together with a vigil and they were all at candles and were they singing his songs and everything? Was that all part of that experience for you?
No, it was pretty much just a straightforward, you know, you go in, sit in the pew and listen to the fans.
I'd like to talk about Jackie Brown.
It wasn't Jackie Brown.
Mr. Casket, can I have his tie? I'd like to take his tie home if it's all right.
He's caressing his face as he walks.
A gentle kiss on the cheek.
Such a tender love of that Jackie Brown.
Can I have a souvenir?
I'd like a lock of his hair.
I'd like to make one of his fingernails into a guitar pick.
I don't think any of that happened. I went and I was very respectful.
Is it possible to lay in there with him just for a minute to say my goodbyes?
Look, I paid my respects and I moved on like a person. All right? It's nothing
like
weird.
A person.
Nothing is like a person.
How dare you?
Like a monkey.
How dare you?
What is happening?
All right, let's move on because we really are out of time.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Unbelievable.
Gene Hackman is 87 years old today. Gene Hackman. Phil Collins is 66. Christian Bale is 43. And Wilmer Valderrama, 37 years old today. Kid Cudi is 33. Kylie Bunbury, Jenny Baker on Pitch. Is
great
20,
show.
28 years
She's
old
great
today.
And it's a great show.
She is.
Nice.
True story.
Also, a reminder, I couldn't get Bean to go to my wedding, remember?
He went to
Jackie Brown's funeral.
You know why?
To my wedding.
No one died.
No one dead there?
Yep.
Only live people?
Yes.
I see. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour this afternoon on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show as we lead up to the Super Bowl. We've got Rich Eisen from the NFL Network, plus comedian Bob Saget, and tomorrow is the Bachelor Report.
Woo!